Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 15th of May, recording at 9:26 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Asian stock markets were mostly firmer. I'm in here today, and Japan getting some follow-through on the upside following the Nikkei's break above the 14,000 level yesterday. And European stock markets were mostly lower, but the majority of them then firmed later on in the day to close with modest gains. The U.S. stock market had opened a bit weaker, but staged a pretty decent rally here. It was just the reverse of yesterday's action. The Dow this time had the smallest gain, 0.73%. The S&P, but that was the Dow was still, it was up 94 points. The S&P was up nearly 15, and that's just over 1%. And the NASDAQ composite was up 1.5%. So an impressive recovery. Despite that, for a change, the U.S. Treasuries bounced. Weaker economic news had contributed to that. That also weighed on the dollar slightly, reversed a small gain that we had seen in the dollar earlier on. But not a lot going on there. A small gain was turned into a small loss by the close of U.S. trading. And elsewhere, on the slightly softer dollar, the metals were all stronger except for nickel, which was down a little bit. Gold rallied $16.50. Currently it's at $880. And soft commodities, the majority of them were a little bit firmer. Soybeans was an exception that was down. I think coffee was down a little bit, but those are small. They were small moves. Generally, crude oil, last but not least, this was fascinating because crude oil tested its highs close to it early on, got up to 126.64, then fell to 120.75 before closing virtually unchanged at 124.27, where it is presently trading. Go figure. I've been writing copy, so I haven't actually seen any news on that. I'll just hit top on Bloomberg, but usually it takes a while before anything of consequence comes out on that. I'm not noticing anything at the moment, but something obviously roiled the market a bit. Okay, so what can we conclude here generally? I think the most interesting thing that's going on by far is that stock markets remain quietly steady in these little consolidation patterns, which have been evident, I would say, 2 to 3 weeks, depending on which index we're actually looking at. Some of them are now breaking up out of these patterns. One of the interesting ones, not breaking through to a new high since the March low, but looks like it's about to, is Taiwan, which had this very narrow, just over 3 week declining little trend channel. And in 3 days, say that took over 3 weeks to form, and then in 3 days it's shot straight back up to the high. Firm banks there, looks good. Japan I had mentioned, impressive action here, and I think we're completing base building in Japan, and the second section index is quite steady as well, and that's an important indicator as far as I'm concerned. Really, investors are spoiled for choice. It's not the first time that Owen and I have said that over the last month or more, and there are a number of interesting situations. Incidentally, none of these stock markets are breaking down out of these little 2 to 3 week consolidation patterns. When I first mentioned them, oh, it was Wednesday a couple of weeks ago, I thought we might be seeing a reaction, but said, it could also just be a little orderly consolidation. Well, it's definitely the latter here, based on what we've seen so far. And interestingly, a number of these stock markets are pushing up out of these patterns now. So, in other words, narrow consolidations followed by upside breaks extending the upward trends. And some of them are pushing or have already pushed above the February rally highs as well. So things continue to improve. And it's really, really rather impressive in my view. How can that be the case when there's so much bad news about? When the credit problems aren't over, and when we have all manner of bad news, global economic slowdown, and we have declining corporate profits. Well, the answer on that, I think, is mostly in the price. And I've been saying that valuations were the best that we'd seen since at least 2004, and there's a lot of cash around. Remember, a lot of people had been saying earlier this year that cash was king, cash was best, and a lot of people did cash up. And the reports are that there are some 3.5 trillion, yes, trillion dollars parked in US money market funds. Now, in other countries, there's investors are holding some pretty substantial levels of cash. That's why I say this is the first psychological perception stage of a stock market recovery, which is the least risky. The psychological components of this recovery stage is that most people are bearish, but markets are ranging sideways to higher. Those of you who've attended the chart seminar will be very familiar with the terminology that I've used here in terms of psychological perception stages, because I've been teaching it for decades. Owen's teaching it now, and today, in fact, he was doing so. And, or does he do that subject tomorrow? I think it's tomorrow. Now, when I say the perception is that it's the most dangerous period, that's because people are still mulling over all that bad news, not least the press is mulling it over, usually with a fair amount of hyperbole. Yet, it's yesterday's story. And I think that tomorrow's story is that the global economy is steady. Yes, it has inflationary problems. I didn't mention that among the bad news, but I should. But it's steady overall. Stock markets are arguably the one undervalued asset class, or if you don't can't quite stomach that, they are the least overvalued asset class, and there's all that cash on the sidelines. Is the cash going to stay there indefinitely? Well, I doubt it, given the fact that yields are not all that attractive, particularly real yields are not all that attractive. But the charts will show us, and in fact, the charts are showing us the ranging recoveries that continue for stock markets, recoveries from those March lows, indicate that money is gradually moving back into global stock markets. So I've increased my positions again today. I'm really using the leverage spread bet account for doing that, but I've got probably the biggest equity position that I've had for really some time. It's probably bigger than anything I had last year. Certainly bigger than anything I had last year once markets started to unravel. Because then I cut right back and on trading positions in stock markets, except for some buying on some of the bungee jump moves, following some of the bungee jump moves on the downside. I also had some hedge shorts back then, but no hedge shorts in here now, and lots of longs, as you know, and as I've been reporting on a daily basis. And today I increased yesterday I increased my Brazil fund long, and what else did I buy yesterday? Oh, I increased my NASDAQ long, having mentioned the day before that I would probably do that yesterday. I did do it. And today I increased my Hang Seng index long and my DAX index long. Okay. Now, what else to mention here? Stock markets, as far as I'm concerned, are by far the most interesting game here. I'm really not interested in trading the commodities at this stage, although if I did, I should probably short corn. But I think probably there's safer money in the stock market, in the stock market longs. And mining shares, industrial mining shares are so strong that one would think that we should see some perk up in the metal prices fairly soon, in the industrial metal prices. Now, some of them are very strong. Aluminium is steady. Tin has been very, very strong, but is somewhat accelerated. Lead somewhere in between, and zinc and lead's deteriorated following its acceleration up to a peak last year, I believe, and or very early this year. And we have, I'm going from memory now, zinc and zinc and nickel are on the lower side of quite large trading ranges, which I suspect are developing bases, but they need a few more upward dynamics, let alone, or not to mention, a breakout on the upside to prove that, which hasn't happened yet. But I think those are perhaps interesting plays. Precious metals, reasonable value here, but seasonal headwinds may not do a whole lot unless the dollar goes belly up. A lot more people are talking about the dollar's bottom, dollar recovery, and so on. I don't see a big recovery in the dollar anytime soon. It's hasn't got the drivers behind it to cause that. Interest rates are too low, the U.S. economy's too weak. Consequently, the U.S. is printing one heck of a lot of dollars overall. Foreign central banks would kind of like to diversify out of the dollar, but they've all succeeded in steadying the dollar. And as you know, no country wants a strong currency for very long. It's just that some countries need weak currencies more than others. That is the long-term bull story behind gold, of course, but as I just said, seasonal headwinds here. Although, if I was going to do anything in gold at these prices, I'd be buying it, because maybe there's a $50 to $75 downside risk at most, and hundreds of dollars on the upside over the medium to longer term. Crude oil, I would watch well, that 20, it bounced from that 120 level. Anything below that would indicate the beginning of an inconsistency, pattern deterioration, in other words. I think, Aaron, I will take it straight from the charts in terms of the overall action, but when you look at the weekly chart, that steepening upward trend, I would personally be surprised if we saw any kind of big additional upside move by oil in the short term. Now that's pretty much it for today. I will be completing much, much earlier tomorrow because I will be going over to the chart seminar at the end to meet all those delegates, and there are a number of subscribers there. As a matter of fact, they're mostly subscribers, which is bound to mean that Owen's having a heck of a good seminar. So tomorrow, say I'll be completing sometime in the mid-afternoon, British summertime. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.